I'm John Batchelor, Simon Constable of the Wall Street Journal, Barron's, and other distinguished publications, traveling. He's in Scotland near Castle Douglas. This is near the large city of Dumfries on the western side of Scotland, where recently there have been wildfires, but not now. Simon is here to compare the south of France, where he lives in paradise, about an hour from Toulouse, to Scotland, where it rains all the time, but not today. Simon, a very good day to you. The south of France that you left behind to take a holiday in the north. The temperatures these last weeks have been approaching 40 degrees centigrade, which is very, very warm, from the beaches of Britain all the way to the beaches of the Adriatic. Has the weather tempered since you were there last? Good day to you.
Good day to you, John. No, it's still rather high at the moment in where my home is in southern France. And 95 is the highest point today, 95 Fahrenheit, and the low was 69 Fahrenheit. So I think I could have bet the 69. When it gets to 95, it's a bit uncomfortable. Whereas here in Scotland, in southwest Scotland, the high is 72 Fahrenheit. And the low was 57. We've got light breeze, which is lovely, and occasional drops of rain, but really not very much. So it's a bit of relief to have some coolness.
The exciting event in Scotland in the summertime is at Edinburgh, where the festival is on in the month of August. Simon usually is in Scotland when there is cloudy weather, so it's a joy to hear him say there's sunlight. So I turn to the climate in general in Scotland. Is there anything irregular about the Scottish climate with El Nino approaching, or is all the usual summertime to your experience?
To my experience, it's a lot nicer than normal, because quite often you could come up to Scotland and it would be raining all the way through the summer. And that is not an unusual situation. It's a bit warmer and it's a bit drier than it used to be. So those are two big things. And until this year, I hadn't heard of wildfires in Scotland until we just had them, which were terrifying. And we had a lot of firefighters out there doing a very brave job and doing it very well. So things have changed, but not as massively as things have changed in other countries.
There's a general opinion that the wildfires that we've witnessed in Canada and North America, and now through Europe, are a product of that dry climate, arid climate.
Yeah, yes, absolutely, yes. When it's dry, things are much easier to burn, and it takes one lightning bolt or one unstubbed cigarette right to get everything going. And with a little breeze on it, it goes even faster. So, yes, those things are contributory to it. And also, people being basically lazy about tidying up. If they've had a barbecue in a field, they should be making sure that is completely out and no embers left. And some people just don't do that.
We don't choose between climate change and arid temperatures, but the El Nino coming on is going to be severe droughts and severe wets, depending on where you are in the world. So we're paying attention. However, we move to commodities now, because that's determining the cost of living throughout Europe, especially in Britain, where they've just had a change of government because of the cost of living. Mr. Burnham is in, Mr. Starmer is out. Simon, I'm paying attention to commodities, starting with energy. The movement of Brent crude, what's it doing now, month over month?
Month over month. Brent is now $89 per barrel. And that's up 6% over the last month. So it's quite elevated. That doesn't seem to be a very big move, but it looks like that could go up even further based on what's going on in the Middle East. We got diesel at €2.17, which is about $8.68 per gallon in the US is what it would be. If anyone's wincing from that in the U.S., then I don't blame them, because it's a lot and it's very, very expensive. The European Union gas, which makes the electricity, is €60 per megawatt hour, and that's up 18% over the last month. It used to be around 40, so that really is a very big move. That's moving on to the metals. Gold is up 10% at $4,418 per troy ounce. Silver at $66 per troy ounce, and that's up 15%. Copper is at $6.67, and that's up 7%. That bit about copper is very good because it means that there's a lot of industry buying copper and building that price going up, up, and up. And it's also data centers being built. So that's pretty good. We've got iron ore coming down. It's at $95 per metric ton, and that's down 3% over the last month. That is sort of goes against what's happening in copper, but it's not as important as copper is. Let me go into some food now. We've got coffee at $3.19 a pound on the wholesale market, and that's down 3.7%. So that's good for us. Like me and John, we like our coffee, so that's very good. Going down a bit more, we've got soy at $11.49. That's down 4% over the last month. Wheat $6.53, which is up 2.6%. Corn, no change at $4.41. Corn is absolutely vital for making alcohol to put in cars and all the rest of it. And then we got one thing more, this urea, which is used as fertilizer, and that's come down quite dramatically. A few weeks ago, it was $449 per metric ton, and it's now down to $386 per metric ton, which is quite a fall, and that will make the farmers very, very happy. So we shall see.
You're still paying 220 euros per liter back home in France for your drug. Most Europeans drive diesel engines and depend on diesel, and that's a product of the refineries where there's shortages worldwide. Our refineries in America are running at 100% plus. There's a shortage of refineries in the Eurasia, especially in Russia, where they're targeted by the Ukrainians. We move to the politics of the moment. The cost of living in Britain cost Mr. Starmer his job, raising taxes in addition to having a high price of milk and everything else at the store was unacceptable. But now you've got Andy Burnham, who was formerly a Lord Mayor of Manchester, Greater Manchester, where I'm told they have good football teams, Man City especially. But Mr. Burnham says he's going to concentrate on domestic issues entirely. How do you hear that, Simon?
Well, it seems a little ridiculous for someone who is now the prime minister of a significant country. And Britain is significant. It's the fifth or sixth largest economy in the world. And for him only to focus on what's going on his front door, basically, which is on the island of Britain, then that seems really, really odd. The cost of living is important. It needs to be done more. But I think he's doing it the wrong way. One of the things that they're talking about in the parliament and behind closed doors is Andy Burnham looking to spend and i.e. tax more by £25 billion. Now, that's a lot of money for Britain. Britain's a much smaller than America, but it's not very good. And they could do a lot of stuff by cutting back welfare payments to people who really don't need welfare benefits. They could just go get a job. And there is a shortage of people looking for jobs. So that's another problem there. It really doesn't make any sense the way he's approaching this. And you've got to have relationships with other important countries like France, like Germany, like America. They are all very important allies. Even if there are occasional spats between Britain and other countries, you've got to keep the phone open so that you can have a chat frequently and come together in some way.
Just in case I thought that British politics was settling down to logic, we have some new voices to pay attention to. Not Nigel Farage. He's campaigning in his blazer. No, a man named Rupert Lowe. This is the presentation by the Restore Party, which is a splinter of the Reform Party of Nigel Farage, which is a splinter of the Tories, the Conservatives, right now. And Rupert Lowe caught my attention these last days on BBC Four, which is the agreed-upon place for politicians and policymakers to make remarks that are catchy or attention-getting. Rupert Lowe said that he wasn't ready to concede that King Charles III was a white Briton. What? Simon, the first thing I heard, of course, because I'm in America, is race. But it's not race. he's making a dismissive remark about your king. Why?
I have no idea why he would do that. The king has done a remarkable job, especially in the, you know, he's now got the shoes that his mother had, basically, in the role. And it's a tough job doing that. He is from a family that is German, and so that is right. You can say that he is, you know, Germanic, and that's absolutely fine to do that. But he is still Britain's king. And he's also the king for many countries in the world
yes.
that have a constitutional monarchy.
Mentioning Canada, for example. Yes, is it a thing to be German in Britain? Is this a put-down?
I don't really know. It doesn't seem to me to be a put-down. There are lots of very lovely Germans around at the moment. You know, there's no war going on between Britain and Germany. You know, it's nothing wrong with being German in any way. Nothing wrong with being British in any way. I mean, of course, there are always people who, you know, hate others. So, you know, that may be the thing.
Well,
I don't know.
I will pay attention to Rupert Lowe in future because clearly he's from a time machine. He's unaware that we're in the 21st century. A white Briton, King Charles III. He's not a white Briton, says Rupert Lowe. I believe that's the quote from BBC Four. We're headed to a quiz for all of you senior representations of voters. That would be me and everyone I know, the boomers. Because Simon's done another quiz for the Wall Street Journal that is confounding. Simon Constable in the west of Scotland, near Dumfries, in good weather. In summertime, I'm John Matt. I'm John Betzer with my good friend and colleague, Simon Constable, writing another quiz for the Wall Street Journal. I got one right, but Simon had prepared me for that by giving me the answer more than a week ago. This is a longevity quiz. In other words, what do you know about being a senior citizen in the globe, in America, anywhere right now? And what I know is that things don't work the way they used to as easily. For example, getting up from the floor is not easy, and you need handholds. The other X has to do with expectations. Simon, let's turn to your quiz because it's about wellness. And the first question is the one that was most confounding to me because I've achieved nothing except for going older when it comes to that first quiz. What is the average life expectancy at birth for the total U.S. population? That was a little tricky because I was born in the first half of the 20th century and most people around me right now are born in the second half. Except for those who were born in the 21st century, for heaven's sakes. All right, is it 75 years, 77, 79, 81, 84? I got it wrong. I was too modest. I said 77. What's the correct answer, Simon?
Well, before I give the correct answer, I will point out that I wouldn't have known any of the answers in this quiz unless I had written this quiz. So, you know, don't feel bad in any way. The answer is 79 years, and that goes through to 2024, and that is up from 78.4 years in 2023. And that's according to the latest for the U.S. Center for Disease Control and Prevention. So, you know, it's going in the right direction. People are living longer because they're healthier.
Right. I've come to think that once I achieve 79, I'm then in, what do you call it in football? Penalty time, where the game is extended? Is that what it's called?
It is called penalty time, but I don't think it should be called that way for people who have got to the great age of 79 or 89 or 99.
All right.
You know, some people just live longer.
All right. This is the one question I got right because Simon told me the answer, but I'm going to try everybody. Number three. I'll do number two next. Which state has the lowest average life expectancy? Indiana? That would have been my guess. Arkansas, Ohio, West Virginia, or Mississippi? The reason I would have chosen Indiana is because that northern belt, Gary, where the industrial complex was once upon a time and is now part of the Rust Belt. But drum roll, please. I would have also guessed Mississippi.
West Virginia has a life expectancy of 72.2 years, according to the Centers for Disease Control. The next lowest is Mississippi at 72.6 years. So you weren't far off thinking about Mississippi, but it happens to be West Virginia on that point.
All right, now this one's easy. Number two is the giveaway, but I still got it wrong because I was being clever. Which U.S. state has the highest average life expectancy? A, Hawaii. B, Massachusetts. C, Colorado. D, California. E, New Jersey. I guess Colorado because I was influenced by all the campaigns of Rocky Mountain High. I was wrong. What is the answer, Simon?
Hawaii. Hawaii. People living in Hawaii are expected to live to 80 years, according to the latest state life tables from the CDC. Massachusetts was next at 79.8 years, followed by New Jersey at 79.6 years. So they're very much of a muchness, those things. They're very, very, very small differences.
Now this is
so good on them, by the way. Good on them for going that way.
There's a complicated question about three countries together. I don't even recognize the country, so I'm going to go to number five and we'll come back. There were 7.4 centenarians, that means 100 plus, per every 10,000 adults aged 65 and older around the world in 2015, up from 2.9 in 1990, which is a credit to everybody's keeping health and stopping smoking. Yeah. That's Pew Research. What does Pew project that the share of centenarians will be in 2050, which is 24 years from now, okay? A, 12.4, B, 16.9, C, 23.6, D, 33.1, E, 40.1. Simon, you're trying to fool us with that 0.1 stuff? Good heavens. All right. I have no idea. How are we supposed to know this?
Well, I didn't know any of this. The centenarians are likely to be number C at 23.6 per 10,000 adults aged 65 or older around the world. So that's quite a jump from 7.4. So that's a real multiple. So being 100 or older is not going to be that much unusual by 2050.
We will continue the quiz when Simon and I are 1 week older. Simon Constable in the west of Scotland. I'm John Batchelor.